I'm glad I'm a perfect fit with you folks. We've been talking all summer long about the miracles of Jesus. Every Sunday morning, we're looking at one specific miracle, and we're calling this the Summer of Miracles. Many of you need a miracle. Some of you are a miracle in the making right now. Others of you have already received a miracle, and you're thanking God for it. Last Sunday, I talked about an instruction for your miracle, and I mentioned that when you ask God for a miracle, He will give you an instruction. We see it so many times in the Gospels. We need money. Go fishing. Open the fish's mouth. Take out the coin and go pay your taxes. So many times, miracles begin with an instruction. So if nothing else, during these summer months, be listening for an instruction. Here's what wise man Solomon said in the book of Proverbs about the importance of an instruction. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 4:13, take heed of instruction, do not let her go, keep her, for she is your life. Proverbs 5:23, he shall die without instruction. In it is the greatness of his folly, and he will go astray without instruction. Proverbs 8:10, receive my instruction instead of silver and my knowledge rather than gold. Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son hears the father's instruction. Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame shall come to him who refuses instruction. Proverbs 15:32, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. So, antennas up, ears wide open. We're listening for an instruction that will be the beginning of your miracle. Today, I'm looking at the miracle of Jesus healing a blind man. It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, and beginning with verse 35. Hold on. It's great. The first verse we read begins, then it happened. I love it when a story begins that way. Straight out the gate, the first three words, then it happened. You know this story is going somewhere quickly. It's going to be good. Some of you cannot say that yet. You're looking forward to a few days from now or whenever your miracle comes, and you then will be able to say, then it happened. Some of you have received a miracle already, and you're able now. If you were to write a book of your life story, one of the chapter titles could be called, Then It Happened. It has come to pass. Then it happened. As he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Here's another story we're looking at during the summer of a miracle Jesus performed. And each time we look at one, we're listening for an instruction we can apply in our own life as we believe God for our own miracle. We can only imagine, those of us who are not blind, what it is like to be blind, to live your lifetime without any sight. Can you explain in words alone to a blind man who's never seen anything the difference between the color of a red rose and the color of a white lily? Can you explain to someone who's never seen anything, been blind all their life, what a difference it makes when you walk into a room filled with darkness and you cannot see anything until you reach over and flip a switch on the wall, and when the switch is flipped, suddenly the lights come on and you can see everything clearly? How can a blind person ever fully understand what it means to be able to see by the light of day? This is the predicament this man was in. He was blind. It was a physical disease he had. He needed a physical healing in his body. Light is so important to us. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, Jesus said, "Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is." So light is so important. The entrance of light illuminates our entire body. We're healthy from head to toe because of the difference light can make when we're in a dark place. And this man was blind, had no enlightenment, no light entering his life at all. And how deep the darkness was for this desperate blind man. Now, roll back the calendar 2,000 years in the day when this miracle occurred, and the assumption in that day, before modern medicine and everything and technology that we take for granted today had been learned. The assumption was, in that day, if you were blind, it was either your fault or your parents' fault. Somebody has sinned, and you're getting what you deserve, either for your own sin or for the sin of your parents. This is brought out clearly in the Gospel of John chapter 9, when a man was born blind. He was blind from birth and asked to be healed. This is a different miracle, Jesus healing a different blind man. And the people in that day asked Jesus, "Who sinned that this man is blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin?" So the ancient assumption was that if you were blind, it was partly deserved, either because of your own sin or your parents' sin. And because of that false assumption 2,000 years ago, blind people were often ignored in their culture and sometimes even castigated. Imagine what it's like to live in total darkness with no light at all. And yet, this miracle literally brought healing, sight to a blind man. But it is a type and a shadow. It's a picture also, not just of one physical healing of a blind man, but it shows us what our spiritual condition is before the new birth. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, it refers to the people who sat in darkness, but now they have seen a marvelous light. That's the experience each of us have when we come to Christ and we're born again. We are born in sin, born in darkness, total darkness with no light at all. But because of what Jesus did, those of us who were doomed to sit in darkness have seen a marvelous light. It changes everything when the light comes on. John chapter 1 and verse 4, speaking about Jesus, it said his life was the light of men. That was the thing about Jesus. When he walked, people noticed the way he walked. There was something about his life that enlightened everybody that was around him. Then we'll notice not only was this man blind, total darkness with no light at all, but he was also a beggar. Now, blind people were limited. That was about the extent of their capabilities. All they could do is beg. And this man was smart enough, while he accepted his lot in life because of his blindness, he found a very popular road to sit beside, the road that led to Jericho. Well-traveled, a lot of people walking down this road every day. And he sat by the side of the road begging. I don't think I ever remember begging for anything. Imagine every bite of food you eat, every sip of water you enjoy is determined by how effective you are at begging. What a horrible lot in life. Not only blind, but a beggar. That was all he could do. But now the story immediately gets better. Even though this man was blind and could not see, he could hear. And he heard a noise that was different. I'm sure there was always noise on that road, that popular highway where he sat and begged. But there was something about the noise that day. He could tell, even though he couldn't see it, the crowd was larger than usual, and there was an excitement in the crowd. And the pitch and the level of the volume was at a much higher level than on an average day. So much so that even though he could not see what was going on, he knew something was happening, and he asked, "What's all the noise about?" He couldn't see, but he could hear. And faith does not come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. In fact, if you are waiting until you see to believe, that is not faith at all. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And this man had heard about Jesus. And he had heard about the other blind people he had healed. This man was a Jewish man. He had been raised in the temple, I'm sure. And he either was there in the temple, or certainly he heard about it on the day when Jesus walked in to the temple and reached for the scroll from the prophetic writings of Isaiah and opened the book of Isaiah, and Jesus standing in the temple quoting Isaiah, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind." Don't you know a good Jewish boy raised in temple knew that scripture from Isaiah and had heard that Jesus of Nazareth had walked into the temple and quoted that verse and then sat down in a chair in the temple that no one had ever sat in before. Their religious teachings told them that only the Messiah would sit in this chair whenever he comes. And Jesus read from Isaiah and sat in the chair that was reserved for the Son of God. Don't you know that blind man had heard about all that? Oh, he couldn't see, but there was nothing wrong with his hearing. In verse 37, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Listen, This is a summer of miracles. We have one at our house. This summer began with Brenda being diagnosed with cancer. We never dreamed we'd ever hear that. And we're still believing for others who've not gotten a good report yet, regardless of a bad diagnosis. We got our good report, and we are grateful, but we are so empathetic and sympathetic and much better intercessors, praying on behalf of others who are still waiting. But this is the summer when Jesus is passing by. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. When you're desperate, when you're blind and can't see the light of day, when you have been relegated to the lowest level of society possible, being forced to beg people you can't even see for your next bite of food, when you're that desperate and you hear that Jesus is passing by, you will take full advantage of this window of opportunity because Jesus is passing by the need you have in your life this summer. We're calling it the summer of miracles. When I was a boy growing up in a Pentecostal church, did I ever tell y'all I was Pentecostal? I know I don't act like it much, but I am. That's why the video we enjoyed a while ago, there was that Baptist lady and there's that Methodist fella, and then there was that boy who said, Pentecostal. I said, oh, that's my man right there now. But we used to sing a song without music usually. It would just break out in services when we knew the Lord was near. Now, of course, we've grown up. Now we know he's near all the time. But there's something about the memory that comes from my childhood when people desperate for God. I mean, as if they were blind and couldn't see without God. They would sing this song, "Reach Out and Touch the Lord as He Passes By. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by." This blind man sitting by the road recognized this was his window of opportunity. This is as close as he will ever get, perhaps, to touching the Lord as He passes by. So he cried out, and notice the title, he cried out. They had told him Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. That's like saying Carl, a native of Florence, is coming along. But he knew better. He knew Jesus was more than that. So he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David," not Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth just described where he was coming from. But Jesus, Son of David, was his messianic name. That was a title that was prophesied for centuries, that the Son of God will come as a son of David, the lineage of David. And so when he cried out, "Son of David," Jesus knew, oh, he's recognizing me as a Lord, as the Son of God, as the true Messiah. He's not just referring to where I came from. He's referring to who I am. And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then verse 39, this is always what happens. Those who went before him warned him to be quiet. You know what that's like. God, I'm in need over here. God, I need a touch. God, I need a miracle. And you better be careful who you share it with, because not everybody's happy about you getting your miracle before they get theirs. The Bible said, those that were before him. Those that were before him. Don't break line. I was here first. So not everybody in the crowd is going to celebrate and push you on across the finish line for you to get your miracle. They are more concerned about their own sometimes. Those who were before him cried out, be quiet. But what did he do? The Bible said he cried out all the more. Now there, we got some determination working. If you get your miracle this summer, it'll be because you're determined to get it. You're going to be consistent, persistent, and determined to get your miracle. Notice his boldness. The leaders in the crowd, those who were ahead of him, those who had gone before him, telling him to, shh, be quiet. Don't bother him with your little problem. And his boldness rose up inside him. And he cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He chose not to listen to the cries in the crowd. The crowd will talk you out of your miracle if you let them. People in the crowd are sometimes selfish, thinking more of themselves than others. And there were those people in the crowd that day trying to discourage this blind man. Be quiet. Don't bother him. We came before you. We're ahead of you in line. We deserve to get what we need before you deserve to get what you need. But because of his determination and his boldness, and when he refused to listen to the voices from the crowd, and he cried out all the more, verse 40 said, Jesus stood still, looked at him, and commanded him to come close. Imagine it. Imagine it. Been blind for so long, and this is a chance. Some of you are here today, you didn't see it coming. This blind man didn't see it coming. When he woke up that day, he did not know this is my day. Earlier that morning, all he knew is I'll go find my place on the side of that busy road to Jericho with a tin cup, and I'll beg again today for something to eat like I do every other day, because I'm blind and I'm a beggar, and that's all I am. That's all I can do. His day probably started out just like that, just like yours did today. Some of you needing a miracle, and you woke up this morning and never had the thought, today is my day. The people in the crowd said, it's not your turn. Shh, it's not your turn. I was here first. I'm ahead of you. Be quiet. It's not your turn. That blind man was so bold, he said, it may not be my turn, but it's my time. Jesus stood still and said, come over here to me. And then the most critical thing in the story happened next. Are you listening? Jesus looked at this blind beggar and asked him a question. And if you're here today needing a miracle and sensing that this is your summer for your miracle, you will hear Jesus ask you this question today, just like he asked the blind man on that day. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, of course, God knows. He knows what we need more than we do. But Jesus required this man to verbalize what he wanted and what he needed. That's why in prayer, when we're determined and when we're bold enough to ask God to meet a need in our life, we need to verbalize it specifically. When you hear your own self say it out loud, Sometimes there are things I didn't know I believed until I heard myself say it, and then I said, you know, I believe that. I didn't know I believed that until I just heard myself say it, but I heard myself say it out loud, and I do believe it's true. There are things I've said that had not yet happened, and I knew it was true when I said it, even though I hadn't seen it yet. I've told you my story. If you missed any of my story, it's a new book coming out called Don't Get Me Started. And there's a chapter titled, Then It Happened. Just like there is in your book. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What a simple question. But the power of speaking it. The power of answering that question. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked this blind man. And immediately he had a specific answer. Lord, that I might receive my sight. A specific answer. Now here's part of the problem why we don't receive some of the things we need, possibly, is because we mess up right here. We're not aware that God is asking us, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, he knows what you need. He knows what you really even think you want. But he asks, what do you want me to do for you? What a wide open, broad gate that is there. I mean, anything in the world, what do you want me to do for you? And we miss it sometimes. Well, shucks. I just want you to bless me. And we are intimidated, perhaps, or we want to get in and out real quick, and whatever the reason, we're not specific. There have been many blessings I've missed because I wasn't specific. And there are some things God will do for you, especially if you're a blind man and he asks you, what do you want me to do for you? And you say, Lord, that I may receive my sight. There are some things he will do for you if you ask him specifically. That he will not do for you if you just simply ask for a blessing. Oh, Lord, bless me, and while you're at it, bless me good. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, that I might receive my sight. And immediately, the next word we see in Scripture is written in red. Jesus spoke it. In his reply, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And then, verse 33, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. Now, not only was there a healing, but now there is discipleship. He followed Jesus, glorifying God. And the Bible says, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. All the people. Wouldn't it be great for God to do something so transformational in your life, so recognizable to everybody around you, that when God did this great thing in your life, everybody glorified God for what they saw him do in your life? That's what happened to this man. Everybody was on the praise team now. Even the critics, the naysayers, those in the crowd who just 2 minutes earlier said, I'm here first, wait your turn, I came ahead of you, be quiet, don't bother him. Even those who were trying to be an obstacle to his miracle, the Bible says, and they all gave glory to God. That's one way to silence a critic, is to go ahead and press through and get God to do something great in your life, where they'll have no choice but to say, praise God, look at what God has obviously done for that person I did not like so much. Even the naysayers praising God for the miracle this man had received. So while we're pressing in this summer for your needs to be met, and some will take a miracle, be determined, be bold, listen for an instruction. Well, Lord, I'm a leper. There are 10 of us here. We need healing. We need to be cleansed from leprosy. The instruction. Okay, when you leave here, go to the temple and show yourself to the priest. An instruction. Now, Jesus could have just zip cleansed right then, but no, he gave them an instruction. The Bible says, and as they went, that's present progressive tense. As they went, they were cleansed. As they followed the instruction they got from the Lord, they got their miracle. It didn't happen instantly in a split second when they were with Jesus, but it happened after he gave them an instruction and they followed that instruction. The Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. So God is speaking instructions to everybody with needs. Hear him. You don't have to see a thing at first, but you do have to hear. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith is not faith if you require seeing it first. The mindset of our culture is seeing is believing. The mindset of the kingdom of God is the opposite. The kingdom mindset is believing is seeing. And it's based on what you hear first. And the important thing about light, if we don't have it, we're in total darkness. But here's what's important about light, being able to see. The entrance of light is everything the light touches is our kingdom now. It can be dark as midnight. Shine a light on it. It becomes our kingdom now. It's translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so, Father, help us see what we have heard about. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like for the prayer team to come forward if they would. The prayer team, men and women who are preparing to pray for you specifically. Many of you have needs. Today is your day. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. He's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Some of you know that's you. And before you leave, you will want to come in 1 minute and have one of these men or women pray with you. Some of the best things that happen here at Abundant Life take place right now in prayer after we dismiss. Bow your heads, everybody. Father, thank you for gathering.